Ruchim Abayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Vayigash. Almost having the schus of finishing Sefer Bereishis and Be'ezus Hashem being able to start Sefer Shemois Habo'aleinu L'tayva. The Shira said L'zecha Nishmas U'le'ilei Nishmas. Rebecca Bas Serina and Leon Ben Rachel, may the Neshama Tayyaras have a lichtige Gan Eden. Great to have everyone at another week of Parsha Insights. As we said, Parshas Vayigash, we're actually going to start with a pasuk that if you listen to last week's Parsha Insights, should be pretty familiar to, because even though last week was Hanukkah, and last week was Miketz, but we also spoke out a little bit of Parshas Vayigash, because part of Hanukkah, like 2 days primarily, fell in this week of Parshas Vayigash. And of course, I'm referring to the psukim. Right before Chamish, if you're looking inside the Chumash, page 256, all of a sudden the pasuk says, Vayaras ha-golois. Yaakov sees the wagon v'asher sholach Yosef losei soisai that were sent by Yosef to transport him at the chiruach Yaakov aviyam. His spirit became revived. I would hope you remember what we said last week. Super, super powerful regarding the second set of wagons. I will tell you, many people during the week said they were very taken by that concept that wherever you are traveling in life, you always have to travel with the second set of wagons. So hopefully from last week's shiur, you know good and well what we're referring to. So that's the pasuk we're going to open up with. What was it that revived Yaakov Avinu's spirit, as it says, V'atechi ruach Yaakov Aviyam? In a very famous explanation from Rashi, Rashi tells us, because the last sugi that the two of them, Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik, had learned together was that of Egla Arufa. And the word Egla and the word Agolos, as in the wagons, although one's referring to a calf and one's referring to wagons, but the letters are very similar. So the hint, the symbolism in the letters was that by seeing the Agolos, it would remind Yaakov Avinu, would show Yaakov Avinu that Yosef remembers the last sugya they had learned 22 years prior, that of Egla Arufa, and when he realized that for more than 2 decades ago, his son remembers what they learned to Chavrusa, that certainly revived his father's spirit. In other words, he realized that even though he's been all these years in such an immoral and debased society like Mitzrayim, but he still remained with the purity and the righteousness of Yosef HaTzadik. Now that's a pshat of Rashi. Meir V'Rabbeisa, you may remember a few years ago I shared with you a different pshat. It's based on Rabbi Yeruchim Olshin. Shlita, Rabbi Yeruchim Olshin Zoller Gesundun Starkzein brings down what I think is one of the most magnificent pshatim of all time. And a few years ago, we did share this pshat. I'm bringing it up again, A, because it's such a magnificent masterpiece, but secondly, because I think that we could add something onto it. For those who were here this past Shabbos, which was Shabbos Chanukah, we came up with a huge chiddush in our battle against the Yavanim. I realize for people who heard the drasha, it will be hearing it a second time, but I'll show you how I think it's a very nice time. But I'm getting ahead of myself. What's this masterpiece from Rav Yeruchim Olshin? Not everybody learns like Rashi that the symbol was Egla was Agolos. If you take a look, as my finger is pointing, on this pasuk that I just quoted, the Dazakenu Bali HaTosfos brings down Rashi's pshat, that it was a sign that he sent him, because the last thing they were learning was Egla Rupa, and therefore he sent them the Agolos, because they're very much the same letters. Didn't I just show you that? But if you take a look at the Daz Zakenu Mibali Tosfos, he at the end says, he's coming up with a different pshat, because the kosha, to say that pshat and another pshat, which I didn't mention, but the first one of Rashi and the second one, he says he doesn't want to say that pshat, because that, those two pshatim are based on the idea that the letters of Agolos, wagons, and Egla, calf, are the same letters. Now that's true, but the Dazakenu Mibali HaTosfos wants to come up with a different pshat because he wants to stick true to the word that he sent him Agolos to remind his father about agolos, wagons for wagons, not wagons for calf. And therefore, he says his pshat is when he sent him the agolos, the wagons, it was referencing the wagons of the Mishkan, Eglos HaMishkan. If a person takes a look in the beginning of Parshas Nasai, there it says in Perek Zion Pasuk Gimel. I'll say it again so you can look it up at home. Perek Zion Pasuk Gimel. There the Pasuk says regarding the Shvatim bringing Karbonos, Sheish Eglos Tzav. They brought the Karbonos in six wagons. That was an exact quote of the Daz Kedem of Aliyah Taisis. So, in other words, what the Daz Kedem of Aliyah Taisis is saying is, he likes this pshat because instead of having to say wagons is coming from something, although it's the same letters as calf, let's stick with agolos equal agolos. He sent these wagons to tell his father about the wagons that will be in the Mishkan where the Shvatim would use these wagons to go ahead and bring karbonos. That's the end of the Daz Kedem of Aliyah Taisis. Now, while it's definitely keeping true to the definition of agolos, Rabbi Yerucham says one has to wonder, what does that mean? What exactly is that symbol and that message? All of a sudden, his father sees Agolos, as it says, Vayares HaGolos. And according to the new pshat from the Daz Kedem of Aliyah Taisis, those wagons were supposed to remind his father about the wagons that the Shvatim used to put their karbonos and to bring them. Okay. And therefore, what? Now what? The wagons remind me of those wagons. And now, what does the Daz Kedem of Aliyah Taisis mean? How does that revive his father's spirit? So in an absolute masterpiece, Rabbi Yerucham Olshin says, because if you go to that pasuk in Parshas Nasai that I quoted twice, where they went ahead and used six wagons, take a look at the Sifarnai. The Sifarnai on those words, Sheish Eglos Tzav. Why did they bring the karbonos in six wagons? There were 12 tribes. Put the karbonos in a separate wagon and go ahead and have 12 for 12. Why 6 for 12? The Sifarnai is addressing that question when he answers the reason that it was six wagons was Lois achva b'neihem, to promote unity. Because when there's unity, ru'uyin shetishra shechina b'neihem, the shechina resides with people when there's unity. Indeed, the pasuk says, v'yihi b'shur ha'melech b'saseif rosh ha'am, yachad shiftei Yisrael. That, says Rabbi Yerucham, is what the Daz Kedem of Aliyah Taisis in our parsha means. He's referring to that explanation that we just said from the Sifarno. When Yosef sent his father wagons, and he meant to reference the future wagons that the Shvatim would use to bring karbonos, what about it was it that so excited Yaakov? Because this Sifarno says, why was it that there were six wagons? There should have been 12, one for each Sheva. The reason they shared, and the reason that two Shvatim used one wagon, was Va'is Achla B'Neyem, Achlus, Achla B'Neyem, Shalom. As indeed it says, Vayhi B'Shur Mech V'Sasev Rosh Yom, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, they were united as one. When Yaakov Avinu saw that the wagons were to resemble those wagons, about which the Sifarno says the reason that there were six instead of 12 because they shared to show the Shechina was there because there was Achdus. Now that revives a father's spirit like nothing else. Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Aviv, his spirit was revived because he understood by seeing the wagons that Yosef HaTzadik was sending, referencing those future wagons, that although amongst the Shvatim originally there was sin and kin, hatred and jealousy, and everything that occurred over a number of parshiyos, now, my son was telling me, after he revealed his identity to his brothers, I want you, my father, to know, Achva, Achdus, Shalom B'Neyem, and therefore the Shekhinah now resides amongst us. And when he understood that message was the one that Yosef was sending, his spirit became revived. In an epic, epic masterpiece from Rabbi Yeruchim, using the Sifarna together with the Dazakenim to explain what was it that revived his father's spirit. Now, of course, we've said countless times how true this concept is, that there isn't anything that will bring life to a parent's spirit like knowing that the children are ba'achdus. If you think back to just the last few months, we have given countless examples. We'll mention but a few, and then I'll tie it into what I said this past Shabbos. We spoke out many times that when a person leaves the grave of a parent, the minhag is to put a stone in Evan on that grave. Why in Evan? Besides the fact that Evan spelt Aleph Beis Nun stands for Av Ben and Neched, father, son, and grandson, or Aim Bas Nechda, mother, daughter, granddaughter, the cohesiveness of three generations, but we said it's more than that. In Evan is something that's really billions and billions of separate particles that when warmed up and heated up becomes one. In fact, my father, Zatzal, uses that to brilliantly explain why. If you take a look, I believe it's in the Darkei Moshe. If you take a look in the Ramah brings down by the halachas of Tisha B'Av, many people have the custom that if they usually sleep during the year with two pillows, they'll sleep on Tisha B'Av night with only one. Or if they sleep with one during the year, they'll sleep with none. In other words, you do something to make yourself a bit more uncomfortable the night of Tisha B'Av. But if you take a look, the Ramah, I believe it's the Ramah who brings down that you should put an Evan, a stone, under your head. Now, if you're looking to make yourself uncomfortable, why specifically in Evan? There are many other things that could make you uncomfortable. So my father brilliantly explained the whole reason why you're suffering Tisha B'Av is the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred, the lack of Achva, the lack of unity. When you put that stone under your head the night of Tisha B'Av, you're not only putting the stone under your head literally, you're putting the stone under your head figuratively as a way of symbolically showing yourself the whole reason why we're suffering the night of Tisha B'Av is because of a lack of Achdus. There was Simras Chinam that was so prevalent. I put the stone under my head because what is a stone? What is a stone? What is an Evan? It's the ultimate of unity. It's the ultimate of billions and billions of particles coming together as one. That's the lesson you have to put under your head, or as we would say the English expression, knock it into your head. So you put the Evan under your head, so both literally and figuratively you could knock into your head that lesson of the Evan. What's the lesson of the Evan? The unity, the Achva, the Shalom, because there isn't anything that a parent wants more, whether it's a parent who's in this world or already in the Olam HaEmes, more than knowing that this cohesiveness and Achva and unity, because that brings Shechina Shruya Beinayim. Maybe that's why when a person visits the grave of a parent, they put an Evan on the grave as a way to indicate to the parents, Neshama, this Evan represents unity. I want you to know that's what exists within our family. You remember the video we did this past Tisha B'Av for the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation? It was about Kibbutz Rav Eim. And we told over an extraordinary maisa with Rav Neuwirth, Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. Well, quickly, my poisek, Rav Wenger of Montreal, shared with me this incredible story. Let's quickly remember the story that we said over on that video. He was visited by a Talmud, and in the middle of the visit, the phone rang. Rav Neuwirth went to take the phone, and he remained on the line for quite some time. And when he did finally come back, so he noticed that the Talmud that was waiting, who came special to visit him, was probably wondering why was he on the phone that long. And so he quickly explained, not by form of an apology, but he said, I'll let you know why I was on the phone so long. That, he said, Rav Neuwirth said, was my brother who lives overseas and he was calling. He said to this Talmud, we don't have parents, our parents aren't alive. When I stay on the phone with my brother, I try to stay on the phone when he calls as often and as long as I can, because that's a form of Kibbur Avaim, uniting and talking and having a conversation and getting along with the sibling is the form of Kibbur Avaim. And since his parents were no longer alive, he deliberately stays on with the sibling for as long as he can, as a way of now being Mekayim, Kavadis Avicha Vesimecha. And if you remember, I said in the video, whether a person's parent is alive or not alive, the greatest way to fulfill that one of the Dibros, Kavadis Avicha Vesimecha, is by uniting the cohesiveness, the unity amongst the siblings. And that's exactly what takes place in this week's Parsha. And that's why, according to Rabbi Yerucham, based on the Daf Zakenu and based on the Sifarnoi, when he saw the Agolos, which were a symbol of the future Agolos that were shared Achla, that brought about his spirit was revived, as it says, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. That we've mentioned in the past. I'd like to give it, with your permission, a little bit of a twist. So I can't say tonight, if you're listening in the Heichel, because although we have such a large island tonight of Anashim Chashuvim and Anashim Tzedkaniyot, almost a sold-out crowd, if you don't fully believe me, come and take a look yourself in person. But tonight I can say, whether you're listening in the Gan, or you're listening live as it's being said, or you'll be from the many listeners, Beis Hashem, will hear when it's sent out, I think this is something that's proper to add. Maybe Yachad Shiftei Yisrael could also be translated homiletically, a novel way. The literal translation is, how wonderful it is when the Shvatim come together, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, and unite as one. Maybe it could also mean, I'm sure you remember this past Shabbos, I shared with the Oilam, we'll try to do it very briefly, a very powerful explanation in the Yevanim. I actually want to give credit, my dear father, Rachamim Raymond, who's now, we learned together in Eretz Yisrael, now he's the Mashkiach of our yeshiva, Rachamim Raymond shared with me this novel approach, and I think it is fabulous. I know when we said it on Shabbos, many people were taken by it. The Yevanim wanted to do many things to us, Lashkicham Tayresecha, Lahavir Mechuk Eretzonecha, they wanted to stop the performance of some mitzvahs, most notably, we said in last week's share, Chodesh Mila Shabbos, we did that all last week. They wanted to make us forget Torah by stopping us from learning, etc. One of the things that the Yevanim also were seeking to do, they're very known, as we spoke out last week in great detail, we spent a lot of time on this last week, the physical, the external, the materialism, the body, etc. And we asked last week, is that good or bad? I reference you to last week's shiur. The Yevanim primarily introduced, as I said on Shabbos in the Drasha, so I'm sure for those of you who are here, it's certainly a review, the idea of sports, the idea of the Olympics. Now, I know you think perhaps I'm heading in one direction, which as I said on Shabbos, I'm not, although it would be worthwhile, and that is introducing the idea that you, forgive the expression, worship sports, or worship a particular player, like you ever hear the expression, oh, my team is doing amazing, and my player, my guy is doing amazing. What do you mean? It's your team? You're part of that team? You're on their payroll? Your fellow, you and that fellow, what does that mean? Your fellow, you, what does that mean? I am not talking about a person who's playing sports, either, as we said, for health reasons, or they need a proper break, or for any one of the number of reasons that are certainly, certainly legitimate. We're talking about worshiping sports, worshiping a player, worshiping the Olympics. That is totally what the Yevanim wanted to bring in. You and I, we, it's all one. You identify yourself and live vicariously through your team. That's what the Yevanim wanted to do. But Reb Rachamim wanted to explain something else. What is it fundamentally that's also so wrong, or I should say so wrong, that defines sports? And I want to reiterate again, in case the person's just joining now and saying, what did he say? If a person's playing the sport, and it's a proper one to play for health reasons, for exercise, they need to clear their mind, it's to bring you recreational time with your children, of course, that's not what we're referring to. He said so beautifully, the idea of any game in sports, if you think about it, is two teams play and there's a winner and there's a loser. Now, please do not talk to me about the rare occasion where there's a tie and some game went into triple overtime. That's not what we're talking about. I see you get it. Generally in sports, not generally, almost 100% of the time, there's a winner and there's a loser. That's the idea of the Olympics. That's the idea of the sports. I won and you lost. They wanted to bring that culture, that ideal, and everything that it represents into Klal Yisrael. Because what Klal Yisrael represents is there's not a loser. There's no loser. You tried, you persevered, you put in the effort, you fell seven times and you're getting up, you're willing to try again, then you're a winner. How many drushes have we given again and again and again and again? How a person's a winner, a winner. You think that person might be a lo yuslach or unsuccessful or have whatever type of menial job in your eyes or whatever it is. Every person, every yid, every is a winner. The concept that there's a winner and that there's a loser, that's what Yavin wanted to introduce. In fact, it bothered them so much that by Klal Yisrael that wasn't the way. That was the primary reason that they wanted to go ahead and bring in sports and the Olympics into our way of life to show, no, there's a winner and that a loser and not everything counts. You could be a loser. Murder, Abbas, I take a look. Please, it's Kedai. Don't just hear the words coming out of my mouth. Actually do it. As we said on Shabbos Kodesh, open up Nefesh HaChaim. From the great Reb Chaim Volozhiner, take a look at Shar Aleph Perek Dalet. Take a look inside. Look at the opening words. I just told you where it's found. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph Perek Dalet. There he says so strongly, addressing Klal Yisrael, he says, Kol Ish Yisrael. Now let's stop with those words because you can go ahead and be medayik and analyze every single word in Nefesh HaChaim. Kol Ish Yisrael does not mean most or many or 99.8%. Kol means kol, 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 kol. Every yid. Then he goes on to say, Chas V'Sholom. You know, Chas V'Sholom is a strong expression. When do we say Chas V'Sholom? Only Chas V'Sholom don't say that. So what already is he about to say that he's using such a strong lashon? Chas v'shalom, God forbid, what? He says, Chas v'shalom, I don't have the sefer in front of me, so I apologize, I'm quoting it by heart, so I'm trying to get the words correctly. If it's a bit off, I apologize, the sefer is not in front of me. He says, Chas v'shalom, al yemer belibcha, no one should ever say in their heart or to themselves, Mo'ani, Ma'koichi, what am I, what's my action worth? How could it be that what little I did is possibly going to go ahead and have any effect in the Shemayim? He introduces that by saying two startling things. Number one, I'm addressing not 99.8% of the people, but that person who feels like a lo yitzchok or unsuccessful, or they haven't fallen 70 times, they've fallen 77 times, or the one who has given up, or the one who doesn't think, etc., etc. He says to that person, Kol, 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 kol Ish Yisrael. Everybody, did you hear the words coming out of my mouth? Kol Ish Yisrael. Chas v'sholim, perish the thought, God forbid. Al yemer b'lim chamo ani makhechi. Don't ever say, who am I or what am I? That is the Yavon way of thinking. That is what the depth of the sport and the Olympics is all about. There's a winner, there's a loser. It doesn't apply to everyone. And what I do, if I didn't win, means that I didn't win. I didn't say it on Shabbos, but famously in the next paragraph, the Sefer goes on to say, I didn't say it, but it's a well-known pshat. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Dam alamala mimcho, which literally means in English, a person must know what's above them, a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he famously translates it differently and says that a person has to realize, Da, everyone must know, Mala Mala, what happens upstairs in Shemayim, mimcho, is from you. Now that's a pshat from Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Let's say that again quickly. Da, you must realize and be aware of the fact. Mala mala, what happens upstairs in Shemayim Mimcha is from you. You affect it. He doesn't mean only some of the people. Kol Ish Yisrael, Chas V'Sholom. Don't say that. In other words, thinking that is the way that Yavon wants you to think. The way that we think is, even if a person thinks I failed, or I'm insignificant, or what I'm doing is meaningless, or it's something so small, or so many people have written me off, but anything that I do can have an enormous impact in Shemayim. That is the way we, coming off Chanukah, Tavshin Peivav, will make sure to defeat the Yavonim by remembering that everybody that tries and perseveres and tries again is a winner, not like it would be in most sports games. We brought a beautiful raya from the Medrash. If you take a look at the Medrash towards the end of Parshas Noach, the Medrash speaks out part of this. If you take a look in Tanakh, and I'll word it slightly differently than we did on Shabbos to cover all bases, maybe you'll pick up the six words that were different, like the famous Maisa. In Tanakh, there are countless hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of names. I don't know how many, you have to figure it out your own, but many, many hundreds of names. Almost never do you find the name repeated. There's a few exceptions, a few that are doubled, but 99%+ or thereabout are not. Why? Why don't you have many Yeshayahus, many Habakkuks, many Avrahams, many Moshes, many Aarons, many Yitzchak, many Yaakovs? Why don't you have many, many of those names? Today you have so many names that are repeated and repeated and repeated. In Tanakh, primarily, you almost never find that, as I said twice, except for rare exception. Why? Why? So my Chaver wanted to say so beautifully, the explanation has to be, and you'll see where he gets this from the Medrash at the end of Noach, it must be that Tanakh wants to teach us, while of course we're united and there's the cohesiveness, but everyone has to realize the chashivas and the importance of their own individuality. No name, almost no name is repeated or duplicated. You don't find many Avrams or Yitzchak or Yaakovs or Moshe or Aarons or any of the other names I said. Why? So that everyone, Kol Ish Yisrael, Kol Ish Yisrael, Kol Ish Yisrael, realizes as an individual, I can achieve. Of course you're part of a klal and a tzibur, of course. But do not lose sight of what you bring to the table as an individual. Now, really, where do you see this in the Medrash? Because the Medrash goes on to say over there that since those Avos HaKadoshim and those in Tanakh and Ruach HaKodesh, they knew the names to give based on the future of what that soul was going to accomplish. He says, but we who don't have Ruach HaKodesh, what do we do at a bris or at a kiddush? We go ahead and name for a father or a grandfather or a great aunt or a great uncle or whatever it is. We are lacking the Ruach HaKodesh to know what the neshama is going to accomplish. And therefore, what are we left to do? Name of a relative or name of someone that passed away. But the implication of the Medrash is the only reason we're giving a duplicate name of someone who passed away is because we don't have that Ruach HaKodesh. If we would possess that Ruach HaKodesh, we as well would give individual names, i.e. names that have not yet existed. Why? To teach us what Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, every Yachid, every Yachid, every Yachid, every Yachid, you count, you count, you count, you count. Chas v'sholom or yemer b'libcha, never say in your heart where Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, you shouldn't go ahead and say. So he wants to suggest that's the battle of Yavan against Klal Yisrael. And now having ended Hanukkah, it's so apropos. Yavan represents, no, there's a sport, there's a winner, there's a loser. You get down on yourself, you go home. That's not the way it is by Klal Yisrael. And that's why he gives such a stunning uptight in the Medrash. Hundreds and hundreds, countless hundreds of names, almost never duplicated. Why? 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 To show you the individuality, the achidus, the importance of being part of the tzibur, but not losing sight of your greatness. He brought a beautiful raya with this. We ended the drasha, and then I'll tie the shir together, Bezus Hashem. If you take a look at most of our zmirais, be it on Shabbos or be it on different Yom Tovim, much more often than not, everything is in plural form. If you take a look, Friday night Zemer, Kol Mekade Shavi, there's that word Kol, everyone and all. If you take a look, Sur Mishaloya Chalnu, if you sing that Zemer, that's also in the plural. Take a look what we say Purim at night, Shoshanas Yachad, all of us Amecha. That's a reference to Klal Yisrael, Beroisam Yachad, Telus Mordechai. Most Zmirais, many, many times, it's the plural, the plural, the plural, the plural, the plural. What's a very notable exception, he says? The song that we sing right after we light the Chanukah Neiros. Ma'os Tzur Yeshua Si. Yeshua Si. It's in the singular. It's my salvation. Tikkun Beis Tefila Si. And go through the Ma'os Tzur, you will see again and again and again, Lashon Yachid. Why Lashon Yachid? Why specifically? is Chanukah Moisur B'Loshen Yochid. He says so beautifully, because that's our victory. That's our victory over the Yavanim, because the Yavanim represented the idea that there's a winner and a loser, giving no credibility or belief or hope to the Yochid. Everything about Chanukah is that there is the Yochid, the power of that individual to say, I do count. Malav malav, what happens to Shemayim Nimcha is from me. And that's why the Ma'os Sur is unique, that so much of it is in the Yochid, the singular. That's our victory over the Yavanim. So to bring it back to what we said from Rabbi Yerucham, what was it that gave Yaakov Avinu the revived spirit, according to Rabbi Yerucham, based on the Dazakenim and the Sifarno? That he saw the wagons were shared. And what was the pasuk that the Sifarno quoted when speaking about the shared wagons? He saw Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Now really, I told you Yachad Shiftei Yisrael in its simple meaning means Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, there was unity. But I think based on this powerful lesson and all of the tie-ins between Yaakov Avinu and Chanukah, not the least of which was the small jars that he went back, therefore may have been symbolic of the small jars of oil. And according to some, if you go ahead and take a look, what was it, the Pak Shemen that was found, that jar that was found? There's different interpretations. Whose seal did it have on it? According to one interpretation, it was actually the seal of Yaakov Avinu. So there are many connections, certainly between Yaakov and Chanukah. I'm merely bringing another one. That when he saw those wagons, it reminds of the pasuk of there's the unity, but then it says Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Maybe Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, besides the simple meaning that we said a moment ago, could also mean Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. He also understood Yachad. There was the Yochid. There was the individuality. There was the belief and the hope of no one giving up on himself. When he saw those wagons, that taught both lessons, the klal, the tzibor, the achva, the shalom, the unity as represented by the Evan. But he also saw at the same time no one getting lost, no one being the Yayish, no one giving up on themselves, everyone believing. In fact, the name Yosef is on the word Mahosif. I can add and do better, add and do better. In other words, as the Pasuk says, even though we're Shvatim, don't lose sight of Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, a reference to that idea of being one. Being one meaning the individuality. We're 12 Shvatim together, and each one Yachad has the ability to accomplish. When he saw those lessons, but the Chiruch Yaakov Avinu, may we be Zoicha, having finished Chanukah Tavshin Beivot, and now approaching Parshas Vayigash, to live with both of these concepts, that of the Evan, the Shalom, the Achva, the unity, the caring and the getting along one for the other, and at the same time, that of Yachad. Al Yemer Belibcha, don't say Mani my Kaichi, but it's Sur Yeshua Si, Beis Tfila Si. Every person and as an individual, albeit they may have fallen numerous times, still has the ability to get up. The power of the Yachad, oh, I know how great the power of the Yachad is. Dam Alamala, what happens upstairs, Nimcha, is from you. May we be Zoicha to remember the dual lesson of how a Yid is supposed to be as an individual amongst the Tzibur, so we could indeed fulfill Vatechi Ruach Avihem, that the spirit of our Father, Avinu Sheba Shemayim, will always be Shechina Shruya Beineinu.